Chapter 9, verses 1 to 21, the blowing of the fifth and sixth trumpets. Father, we come before you. We ask for your anointing. We ask, Father, that you would open up our eyes, our spiritual ears, to understand what the Spirit is saying to the church in these days we're living. God, this we need you to lead us by your Spirit, God, to teach us what is going to go on during this seven-year tribulation period so that we can tell others of what's going to happen so they can be prepared also, Lord, and not have to be here. So God, we ask for your blessings as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we come to the sounding of the fifth and sixth trumpets, and we're going to begin with verses 1 through 11. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth. And to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass or the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. The shape of the locust was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lions' teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and they were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months, and they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has a name, Apollyon. So here we have another star. We've already seen two stars, and we know they were literal stars, meteors that fell to the earth. But here we have a different kind of star. And I want you to notice it's referred to as him. We believe this is Satan. Some have identified this star as the Antichrist. But I want to give you some reasons for interpreting this star as Satan from God's word. Isaiah 14 verse 12 tells us, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations." Lucifer was Satan's name before pride entered into him and he fell and was kicked out of heaven. In Luke's gospel, chapter 10, verse 18, we read, "And Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Literally, in the literal translation, like a falling star. Paul the Apostle wrote in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14, "And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light." The Apostle John will tell us later in Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 to 9, that Satan was put out of heaven and cast to earth. So if this star is Satan being cast out of heaven, I want you to notice what he does. He goes down and he takes the key to the abyss. Now, a key in scripture speaks of authority and power. This is given to him by God. It's actually the permissive will of God. The bottomless pit is speaking of a long shaft leading to the abyss, as we're going to see when we get to Revelation chapter 20 in verse 3. Jesus made reference to the abyss in Matthew 12, verse 40. He said, "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Matthew's gospel is saying Jesus went to the abyss, which is called Hades or Sheol from the original Greek. It's in the center of the earth. When the Lord told about the deaths of the rich man and Lazarus there in Luke chapter 16 in verses 19 to 31, Jesus taught Hades had two compartments. The rich man died and went to the place of torment, and the poor man died and went into Abraham's bosom. Everybody that died from Adam and Eve as believers went to Abraham's bosom. All the others went to the other side, the place of torment. So in his death, Christ went down to Hades to proclaim to those in Abraham's bosom his victory. And then he led them into God's presence, which is the third heaven. This is what Paul said. The Lord led captivity captive there in Ephesians 4, verse 8. So when Jesus went to the abyss, he went to announce two things. Number one, that his redemption had been completed. Number two, he now holds the keys to the abyss. How do we know this? Revelation 1:18, Jesus said, "I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death." Peter tells us this is where the demons are imprisoned. 2 Peter 2:4. He says, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into change of darkness to be reserved for judgment." In Luke 8, verse 30-31, Jesus asked the demon-possessed man, saying, "What is your name?" And the man said, "Legion," because many demons had entered him. And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. So what we need to understand is this abyss is a literal place. God's word teaches that heaven is literal and that hell is literal. During this last part of the Great Tribulation, the key to the abyss is given to Satan. Think about that. Satan is given a freedom that he never had before. He's going to reign for the last 3.5 years of time as we know it, in the last half of the Great Tribulation period. Now, something I want to mention about these locusts that the Apostle John is seeing. They're different from the locusts we have. A commentator named Govett says these are no common locusts, and he tells us why. First, because they eat no vegetable products. Secondly, the locusts on earth have no king, and these do. Proverbs 30, verse 27 tells us the locusts have no king, yet they all advance in ranks. Third, in the plague of Egypt, Exodus 10, 14 says, "And the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested on all the territory of Egypt." They were very severe. Previously, there had been no such locusts as they, nor shall there be such after them. In Joel chapter 1, he prophesied of a coming plague of locusts. But the difference between the locusts here and the locusts in Joel 1 is the character of the locusts and what they are destroying. These locusts are stinging evil men who haven't been sealed by God. Remember, the 144,000 were sealed by God. It's insane the torment mankind will receive during these 5 months. I mean, people will try to commit suicide and they won't die. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine jumping off a 50-story building and hitting the cement and laying there in all your brokenness and you can't die for 5 months? You see, this battle being waged is between light and darkness. It's a judgment from God who will not let these people die. Now, why is God doing that? God is allowing it because mankind has to face the consequences of their rebellion and their sin. They wouldn't receive that free gift of salvation through Christ. So now they're having to pay for it themselves. Not salvation, but the consequences of their sin. Notice the description of these locusts. Their faces resemble the faces of men. Their hair is compared to a woman's hair. And the prophet Joel compares the teeth with those of a lion in Joel 1, verse 6. I can't even imagine people trying to die for 5 months and they can't. The name Abaddon from the original Greek text means destruction. Apollyon from the Greek means the destroyer. Let's go ahead and look at verses 12 to 21 and finish up here. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed, by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents, having heads, and with them they do harm. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. You know, it sounds like a clip out of Star Wars. I mean, this is incredible stuff that we're studying here. The first woe started the last half of the Great Tribulation period. This first woe lasted 5 months. The next two woes will cover the remainder of this time, a little over 3 years. When the sixth angel blew the trumpet, a command came from the horns of the golden altar. The golden altar speaks of what? It speaks of prayer. Remember, this is where the angel offered prayer at the beginning of the blowing of the trumpets last time in Revelation chapter 8, verse 3. Well, the angel not only blows a trumpet, but is given a command to loose the four angels bound at the river Euphrates. Again, keep in mind, these orders are being given by Christ himself. He's in full control of all these things that are taking place. Now, we don't know why these angels were bound at the Euphrates River. My first pastor taught us way long time ago, Pastor Raul Reese. He said, look, where the scriptures are silent, we need to remain silent. You just can't make anything up. Scripture supports scripture. But if you are a student of the scriptures, if you're reading your word daily, this area is interesting to research. Let me give you a couple of things about the Euphrates River. First of all, we know the Garden of Eden was somewhere in this area. Secondly, this is also where Adam fell into sin. Third, the first murder was committed here when Cain slew his brother Abel. Fourth, this is the area where the first war was fought. Fifth, in God's judgment, this is where the flood began and spread over the entire earth. Sixth, this is where the people tried to build the Tower of Babel. That's when God confused all their languages. That's why we have all the different languages today. Seven, it's where the Israelites were brought when the Babylonians took them captive. Eighth, this is where the final push of sin on this planet will take place during the Great Tribulation period. There's many more things you can research it out for yourself about the Euphrates. I mean, it actually marks the division between East and West. Some believe there's been a restraining influence in the past, which has kept the East from going over to the West. But what we need to understand now is that it's broken down. Napoleon once made the statement, "China is a sleeping giant, and God pity the generation that wakes her up." Well, we know China and the kings of the East is what is going to entail into the Battle of Armageddon at the end of the 7-year Great Tribulation period. Today, China represents 1/4 of the world's population. They can put together an army of 200 million. They've been boasting about that for years. If you take the peoples of the East, of the Orient, beyond the Euphrates River, you have most of the population of the world. Here they've been held back by these four angels. And in Zechariah chapter 5, Zechariah says Babylon is the last stand of false religion. That's a reference to what's going on, what we're reading right here. This is a place where Satan is going to make his last stand. Now, I want you to notice something. I don't know if you caught this. The very hour is marked out. The blowing of the sixth trumpet and 1/3 of the population of mankind is killed. We've already seen 1/4 of mankind killed. Now, 1/3 more are killed. That means more than 1/2 of the population of the earth, as we have it today, will be destroyed in the Great Tribulation period. People didn't want to repent of their sins. I'm sure many of those people that are going to be killed are, quote, good people. But they weren't born again believers. You see, all of us deserve hell. Every one of us do. God in his grace sent his only begotten son to die in our place so we could go to heaven. It's a free gift. It cost God the horrific crucifixion of his son in our place so that we could go to heaven. So I can't sit here and say God is a horrible, terrible God for allowing all these people to get killed. They chose to die this way because they would not receive that free gift of eternal life through God's Son. Here John is giving us a literal description as the forces of hell are at work. These three plagues are literal plagues. They're not symbolic. The fire, the smoke, the brimstone. I mean, these are some amazing horses. They're special horses. And their tails have heads on them. Sounds like a clip out of Star Wars, doesn't it? I mean, this is the same thing that took place at the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah when God destroyed the cities. Why? Because of their sin. The word sorceries is from the Greek New Testament word. The Greek word is pharmakeion. Pharmakeion. It's where we get our English word pharmacy or drugstore. The Great Tribulation will be a period when the use of drugs will be off the hook. I mean, it's going to be off the scale. No doubt drugs will be taken to overcome the horrific pain and the death that's going to take place to help people endure this terrible time. John tells us they were guilty not only of sorceries, indulging in drunkenness and in drugs, but also of fornications, which lead to thefts. The thought is the Antichrist is going to use these things to bring mankind into subjection to him. Under the influence of drugs, man will accept anything. I can tell you firsthand, from experience, that's true. Bottom line, if you miss the rapture and are left behind, the only way you can make it through this period is to receive the mark of the beast. But once you take that mark, I can't be any more clear on this, you will be condemned for all eternity in the lake of fire and brimstone, totally separated from God, totally separated from any family and from any friends, in total darkness, in unending torment and excruciating pain forever and ever and ever with no end. That's the consequences of refusing the gift that God has given to us through his Son and being born again. The mark of the beast. It isn't some vaccine people will take and be condemned to hell because they were tricked into thinking they needed it. The true mark of the beast is related to the worship of the beast. People will know what it is. People will willingly accept it and receive it as an act of worship and submission to the beast and his beast system. So what is with all these vaccines going on? I believe the vaccines are designed to condition you and me for the eventual mark of the beast. It won't be an issue for people in this time. It's just another mark. That's all it is, like a vaccine. Part of the worship of the beast and participation of his system will be the very willing and conscious decision to receive this mark. Let me say that again. Part of the worship of the beast and participation of his system, the Jezebel, the harlot system, will be the very willing and conscious decision people will make to receive this mark. So next time, we're going to be in chapter 10. We're going to see a break between the sixth and seventh trumpets. Father, we come before you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the things you continue to show us and reveal to us of how terrible this time period is. And God, we thank you as born-again believers that we will not be here for any part of this pain and death that is going to take place. Thank you for the gift of your Son, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.